Dear ones, let's bow our hearts in prayer. Father, we thank thee for this hour that has brought us together in this midweek, O Lord, as we pause from the busyness of this life and all of the obligations that we have, some we place upon ourselves, some are brought upon us. O Lord, but we put all those things aside to come together, to worship thee, to bless thee. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as we have come together, that our hearts would be open. As we open thy word, that the words from these pages would find a place in each one of our hearts, O Lord, that we would draw nigh unto thee, and that our hearts would be surrendered unto thee, and that we would commit our ways unto thee, Lord Jesus. So bless our gathering this evening. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There was for this evening's meditation, for our strengthening in faith. Let's turn and read together with God's help from Psalm number 103. Psalm number 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. May God bless. The Psalm of David that we have read this evening is a psalm that does not have any petition from God. It's not asking anything from him. It is simply recognizing him, who he is, and praising him and blessing him. Nothing in this psalm, and it's really even in the hymn that we sang, I noted the four verses that we sang, all of them were an acknowledging of God in his greatness, his mercy, as we read here. And so David is calling upon himself and all who will read this psalm through the centuries, that thousands, years now, thousands of them who have read this. And he calls upon, in the first verse, bless the Lord, and he says, oh, my soul, and all that is within me. So how can, like, I know what I think we all have an idea of what it means to be blessed. We all might in some way feel a blessing when it comes upon us. But how do we bless God? How are you going to bless the Lord? How am I going to bless him? What do I do? Well, he goes further, and he calls upon his soul. And we know that man was, when God breathed, he came from the dust, and he was formed. And when God breathed his spirit into him, he became a living soul. And so the totality of who you and I are is not just what is seen with our eyes. The totality of who I am is made up of all many different layers. But David is calling upon, he says, oh, my soul and all that is within me, bless his holy name. How will I bless his name? It doesn't say just with the lips, because many do that. And we've said it recently, and we know that Jesus himself said that this people is worshiping me with their lips, but their hearts are far away. Their hearts. So David is saying, not with lips, not just with that, but with the entire being that I have within me, bless him. And how do we bless him? We bless him by speaking about him, as David does in this psalm. He speaks about him, and so when we praise God, when we think about praising him, we praise him by the recognition of it's an adoration of who he is. Recognizing God in his might, in his power, and yet in his mercy, and in his love, and his compassion. His greatness is all of that is coming together, and we praise him as we adore his being of who he is. And it's we bless him as we speak about him to one another. And in that, bringing about all of his sovereignty and his might and his holiness, as we speak about him, those are the blessings that we give God. It is the recognition of who he is, and we praise him through that. And David also gives an expression of thanksgiving. The thanksgiving is for the recognition of God and his mercy that he has shown towards us in what he has done for us. God, in all of his might and power and splendor and holiness, he is yet a God of mercy and love and compassion. And he gave his son for us, who died for us, who shed his blood for us. And this is the thanksgiving that we offer him now. Not only, as Jesus says, not only through your lips, but in your aligning of all that is within you, everything that is within you, your soul and all the layers of your being aligned together to worship me, to recognize me for who I am, to give me the thanksgiving that is due unto him. And David is calling us, and yet only us. He calls upon the angels. Where did we read? He calls upon the angels in heaven who David realizes that the Lord uses the angels in heaven to fulfill his will and to do his will. And he calls upon them, come join us also as we praise him and bless his name. All of his creation is to bless and to worship this great God who gives us life and gives us his mercy. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Don't ever allow yourself, my dear brother and sister, my dear friends, don't ever allow ourselves to forget all of the benefits that God has given unto you and to me. And that is to every one of us. He has given his son to each one of us. And so he doesn't favor anyone more than another. The Bible makes it clear that he is not a respecter of persons. You and I are. We are. As much as we say we're not, we are. Because, and Jesus tells us through the blessed apostle, he says, don't recognize a man when he comes into your assembly as one who is, oh, you come up here and you sit over here. We do that in our daily life. We do. When we recognize someone who is maybe a little bit better off, a little bit more well-to-do, we somehow idle up to him, or in a way, somehow draw a downcast eye upon those who are unkept, or in some way, we look down upon them in some way, shape, or form. God doesn't do that. And the Bible tells us we commit sin when we do that. So God is incapable of that. He is holy altogether and righteous. He's incapable of sin. So he cannot respect you and me differently than he... So he gives his benefits. He gives his son to all of mankind. And he says, who forgives all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. And we look at the healing of diseases. Do we really just look at the healing of diseases as if I have something ailing this flesh, which will pass away, and he heals that? Is that what he's speaking of here? I believe he takes this straight out of the prophet Isaiah. He says, he was wounded. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Healed of what? Diseases? The disease of sin. We are healed by his stripes, by him being bruised and put upon the cross, placed upon the cross, and it was there that we receive healing. And Apostle Peter takes that directly from Isaiah. He says, who his own self bare ours. He, in his own self, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, listen to this, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Healed of what? Our iniquities, our sins. And we are to now be dead to those things that we are healed to, and that we should now live unto righteousness. And so, dear ones, David is calling upon the totality of our being to praise and to give thanksgiving. And that is really the essence of worship. That is what worship is. When we go, when deep within our own soul, David, who recognizes that he doesn't even know himself. And so he calls upon the Lord to reveal even himself to himself. Because you and I, we have to admit, we do not, let's make our confession right now. We do not worship the Lord in the totality of what our desire is to worship him and to praise him in this flesh. We don't. And so what do we do with that? Do we just leave it as such? Well, David is, he's calling upon each one of us to, deep from within our souls, deep within, empty yourself of all this iniquity that is within you. It was placed upon Christ. Christ bore all of that upon himself on the tree, the cross. And to give us this new heart as we yield ourselves unto him. And I think that was a beautiful, I don't want to say slogan, but nothing else is coming to my mind that was used in the Eastern camp this year. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Commit all of thy ways unto him. That is the essence or the totality of worship. Commit all of your ways unto him. The theme, that's the word I was looking for, the theme. And that really should be the theme of our lives. Because when we commit our ways, we yield our hearts, our ways, our... And you know, here in it says, he made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. Israel saw the miracles, and they stopped with that. They stopped with the miracles, but he made known his ways unto Moses and all the children of Israel. And is that the extent of our worship also? We recognize him. You know, the children of Israel recognized his power in his miracles. Is there certain aspects of God or parts of him that we know as a fact, we accept it as such, and we leave it right there, as the children of Israel did, and never benefit from who he is. Never benefit from the God that he is. He made his ways known unto the children of Israel. He made his ways known unto you and to me. He did that when he sent his son Jesus Christ. He says, who redeemed thy life from destruction. He is my redeemer. He redeemed you and me. From what? From destruction. Eternal separation from God. It's something that we cannot understand or comprehend. This destruction that he redeems you and me from. An eternity without him. An eternity with nothing good there. Hell. The absence of God, the absence of anything that is good. It is altogether darkness, utter darkness, evil, suffering, torment. He says, I bore your sins. I bore your sins for you. I redeem you. Come out now and be separate and come unto me. And he says here, and he crowneth thee. So he redeems us and he crowns us with what? Nothing short of his loving kindness. What else do you want? What else do I want in this life than to have the loving kindness of my Lord upon me, and his tender mercies, which you and I need every day, and they're there for us every day anew. What more do you want? What more do I want? Why am I not thankful? Why can't I give my thanksgiving unto him for what he has done for me? Is it not enough? What more do I want? Is what the Lord has done not satisfying me? He says here, he satisfies thy mouth with good things. He says he executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. That judgment may be yet in this life or it may be in the next life. But God is just. God is just. And there will be a just reward given for all who are oppressed. All who oppressed the apostles, the prophets, where God spoke to the people through the prophets, and they were put to death. They were sawn asunder, it tells us. The apostles who had given their life for Christ. Why? To preach about who he is, to speak about him, to praise him by speaking about him. They were put to death for that. Apostle Paul was never healed of his ailment. And here it tells us he heals us of all our diseases. So are we saying that Apostle Paul, that we are more worthy than Apostle Paul to be healed of his disease? No, it's the healing of the diseases, of the sin. He heals us. He gives us victory through him, through a new heart that he recreates and transforms us into a new being. And in this, dear ones, then we are able to worship him. Why? Because we do what he created us to do, to bless his name. And God is glorified through that. It's a beautiful psalm as we go through it. And again, he reminds us that the Lord is merciful and gracious. He's slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. We know he is slow to anger because, you know, you and I flare up with anger very, very quickly. When something goes against us, someone does something that was wrong, or right away there's an anger that flares up, and Apostle Paul warns us, says, come out of that. Don't let the sun go down upon that wrath of yours. Don't go to bed like that. Don't justify it. Come out of it. Repent. And we who proclaim that we know him, who say that we are servants of his, we ignore him. And we sin against him. And he is slow to anger. He should strike us dead immediately. He should throw us out of his garden like he did Adam and Eve. But he was still merciful to them. He was merciful to Adam and Eve. He took them out of the garden so that they don't partake of the tree of life and live in an eternity in their sin. He put the flaming sores, he cast them out of the garden, and he provided a way of healing for the disease of sin. What a God we serve. Or do we serve him in the totality of our soul and being and who we are? He's not dealt with us according to our sins, he says here. David knows that better than any of us. But you know what? We know it just like he does. That was really when we think about the grossness of his sin and goes on to another one, sin of adultery and a sin of murder. And he knows that God didn't deal with him according to his sin. He didn't reward him for what he did. He healed him. He healed him. And we see the healing process of David, what he had gone through. in the absolute coming to him in the absolute depravity of who he is, and poured himself out upon the mercy of his God. Who else could he have received that kind of mercy from other than God himself? Do you think a man could be more merciful to David than God was? Do you think you and I have more mercy and compassion than God? Do we sometimes look at God and, oh, I wish he wasn't so harsh? We look at God as harsh. That's because we don't know him. We have no idea who he is if we look at God as harsh. God is love. No man in the time of David could have looked upon David and been that compassionate to him as God was. He took another man's wife and raped her. He killed her husband. God forgave him of his sin, as he forgives you and me today. And do we worship him? Do we praise him? Do we offer him the thanksgiving that is due unto his name? When we look at him who took our sins and our iniquities upon, bore them on his own, so that by his stripes we would be healed. And David is reminding us of this, of the beauty of our God and who he is. The holiness, the purity, the love which he has displayed to each one of us. He forgives us our sins and casts them away as far as the east is from the west. He doesn't know what we did anymore. Why? Because he looks at you and me and he sees the righteousness of God, his Son, who has clothed us with his righteousness, because we have none of our own. Like as a father pitieth his children. Tell me a father who looks at a child who is suffering in some manner. You pity that child and you wish you could take that away from him. You would gladly bear that for that child. And he says, so the Lord pitieth those that fear him. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. God will now impart his wisdom upon you when you fear him. You recognize who he is. You look at his holiness and you tremble at a God who is so pure, holy, and in his presence sin cannot dwell. That's a thing to fear. And God says, fear me. You have something to fear. Because you're just flesh and blood. But he says, but when you fear me, I'm going to show you who I am. You're going to learn about me. And you're going to come to him and learn of his mercies. And now suddenly, when we see this, he's going to remove my transgressions from me. All of my transgressions that he should judge me for. He's going to remove them from me. Where's he going to remove them? He put them on his Son. And God is still just. God is still holy. Because he dealt with our sin on his Son, not on you and me. He knows who we are. He knows our frame. And remembers that we're just dust. But you and I forget that we're just dust. That's the problem. And so he gives us our gray hairs as a reminder, hey, you're getting old. Death is coming. He gives us our wrinkles to remind us, you're getting old. The grave is not far away. He's reminding us that we're just here for a short time. We can paint our hair, color our hair. We can get facelifts. We can do whatever we want to try to put off what is coming, but it doesn't work. We're just dust. And he reminds us who we are. And he says, as a man, our days are as grass. It's a flower of the field. It flourisheth. It's there. It's beauty. And then it just simply, the wind passes over. Look how Look how quick it is. Wind passes over it and is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. How soon our legacies are wiped away. The people who know us don't even know us anymore. Within a generation or two, our names are gone. No one knows us. No one knows anything about us. In 50 years, who's going to know me? Some of you maybe will remember if you're here. Who knows? But very soon, it'll be fade away. And the grass, it says, it's like the grass. The place doesn't even know it was there. And we can look back and remember someone who had gone long ago, and they're barely remembered. Occasionally, something will bring up out a spark of memory, but to my child, he doesn't even know who he is. He has no clue who he is. And so that's how our life is. But we forget that. He remembers it, and it reminds us so that we would remember. But too soon we forget. And he says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. So, and his righteousness unto children's children. So what is it that you, my dear brother, as a father, can impart unto your child? What can you give him? What can you offer him? What is it that you can give him? And I know it's very, we put a lot of effort to teach our children how to make a living. Do this, do this. More so today than it was in our generation. In our generation, we just kind of left ourselves. And you find your way somehow by God's grace. But how much time do we put into teaching our children and pointing them into financial world and showing them how things work and how to go to school and what to do and get a good paying job and all of these things? It doesn't mention anything. There's any mercy towards those children because of that. It doesn't say anything. It just says, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. Teach your children the fear of God. That's what you need to impart. The wisdom unto them is the fear of God. And when you and speak of his righteousness unto your children, and so they will then speak unto their children. And those are the blessings that we can offer to all of our children. And that is why we come to church. That is why we bring our children to church. That is why we have the programs that we do in the church and the Sunday school, to bring them together, bring the children together. All of our thoughts, everything about our Sunday worship can never exclude our children. And so we bring our children, we teach them, and he says, and his mercy is forever unto those who to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. To keep those that keep his covenant. What is this covenant? He says, a new covenant I've given unto you. And he gave the cup unto his disciples of his blood, the new covenant of his blood, which cleanses you and me from our sin, cleanses us and empowers us with a new birth, a new heart. It sanctifies us into new life. This is a covenant that we are to keep. As he cleanses us, renews us, and makes us a new creature. And this is a covenant that we are to keep. This is his covenant that he gives unto us. And we are to keep that. That is what you give to your children. Those are the blessings from everlasting to everlasting to your children's children. Those are the things that God gives. His mercy will continue on. Don't fear today. Oh, this is a terrible time to be raising children. No, it's not. It's as terrible today as it was 2,000 years ago. Why? Because Satan is still who Satan is. He's evil in every way. He's a liar, and he does whatever he can to deceive. Put your trust in God. Teach your children the fear of the Lord, and don't worry about what will come tomorrow. Sufficient is the evil of the day today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. I have to tell myself that every day, and you do too. Why? Because that's all we think about. Oh, what about? It doesn't matter. Think about today. And teach your children today the fear of God, and to keep his covenant, to remember his commandments. As the Lord Jesus says, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I have commanded you. How easy it is to call Jesus my friend, but does Jesus recognize me and call me his friend? He says, I will if you keep my commandments. The heart that the covenant that I've made with you, the new heart that I've given you, the blood that has cleansed you, the blood that has redeemed you, the blood that sanctifies you, keep the covenant. And I will keep you. I will keep your children. I will keep your children's children. What a blessing. What a promise. It takes away all fear. It takes away the fear of the unknown, because there's plenty of it. And it gives us a hope that after us, our children will carry on the love for God, fear, and worship him, and pass that on to their children. And he says, here, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. This is who our God is. And bless the Lord, ye his angels. That's where it says, who excel in strength, that do his commandment. They go at his beck and call, they serve. They go. They do. He tells them, they do. He tells us things to do too. Are we ready? Do we speak of him? Do we bless his name by speaking of the wonderful works of Jesus and who he is? Bless, and he calls us again. He starts out this psalm, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He closes, he says, bless the Lord, bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye minister of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless all of his works in all the place of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen.